be speaking, but who am I to say anything? The Lord does whatever He wants to do, right? So, I got a little text message today about different ones not going to be here, and so I just kind of went over all my notes, and I just want to kind of review and just kind of talk about what I've been learning about this new love. Sunday he talked about this new love, which isn't a new love, but it's new to us. That's what he said, it's new to us. And I was talking to Brother Jacob at the dock the other day, and we was talking about it a little bit, and he goes, yeah, you know, kind of like if they got a new truck on the market, but somebody gets it before me, and four or five people are driving around, it's new, but for me to get in it right now, I don't know the controls, it's new to me. It's new for, but they already know what it's all about already. I just never got in and drove it yet. So this love here is new to us. It's not new, but it's new to us. And it's challenging. It really is. Because it's like after he talked about it on Sunday and I was like, wow. And you start seeing it all over and everything. And you start seeing the places in your life that you have to live that unconditional love in everything that you do. Like he said in the message, I listened to it again today, this afternoon while I was cutting the grass. And it's, you tend to forget. Because you get in there in that vehicle and you don't know all the controls yet. You know, I got this new vehicle as Highlander, and me and my wife get to town. There's this one button, we don't know what it is. But you crank up the truck, and it says ASC or something like that. And if you don't press it, when you come to a red light and you stop, the engine kills. You press the button, it cranks the engine back up again. I'm like, what is this? Why I got to keep pressing this button? But I'm getting used to it, you know. And so just like this love, this unconditional love, it only fits in His Word, not man's way of loving. And so you got to go through all the Scriptures and start studying the Scriptures that He talked about. There's a couple of them he talked about. I would call it this type of love. It's this type of love is first talked about. We'll talk about the commandment again to love the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul. And loving God with all. And everything that we do, we're loving on God when we do that. Also unconditional. It's unconditional and also unconditional love and laying His life down for His friends. We lay our lives down just like He did for our friends. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Starting in Matthew 22, 35 through 40. Then one of them, you know, we're still talking about the words of Jesus. We're talking about the words of Yeshua. In Matthew 22, 35 through 40. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Yeshua said unto him, Thou shalt love Yahweh the Elohim with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. And so in this one, in the three, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, he talked about the mind. And it's true. We can love the Lord with all our heart. We can love the Lord with all our soul. But when it comes to the mind, we get in fearful places because you get to that scripture about, there's a scripture in there that talks about laying your life down. If you hold on to your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll gain it. And so we tend to want to hold on to our lives. It's my life. Nobody's going to say what they want to me. I want to do what I want, how I want to do it. Things aren't going my way today. So we hold our lives. And so when those situations come up, instead of having that unconditional love or laying our lives down, those thoughts come up in our mind and we want to do it our way. And so those thoughts hinder us. So when we do that, we're loving ourselves and wanting what we want rather than loving our neighbor or loving on God. Because the minute we go with our thoughts and want to go our way the way we want, we quit loving on God. So we go loving Him with all our heart, loving Him with all our soul, and we're not loving Him with all our mind. That's where we're falling in a spot right there, is not loving Him with all our mind. That's why Peter sunk on the water. That's why Peter said, I'll die for you. And he walked away when it got tough, because he didn't lay his life down. We're still trying to hold on to it. We want to be in control, more or less, to say. And that's what I've been thinking all week long. Like, okay, so the reason why I run into these troubles, I get disgruntled, because I'm still holding on to being in control. I'm not letting Him be in control of my life. So I'm not letting Him be in control of my life. I'm not loving Him. I'm loving myself more than anybody. We run into selfishness, you see. It all falls into that bracket. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind. He talked about this. Having the same mind. Having the same love. See, there's that love again. There's that love. That new love. We're not used to this kind of love. Unconditional love. I would really die for you kind of love. Lay my life down. That's what Peter did later on. But in the beginning, he didn't. He ran from a little girl. Remember that? But afterwards, he laid his life down. And he's still asleep today, awaiting the promise, because he laid his life down. And I'm sure the time that he lived has a residual effect of a lot of souls and a lot of seeds sown that led all the way up to us today. We even talk about Peter. So that went a long ways from him being dead to us now. It says, same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition. It pops up right away. Selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. It's not easy being in humility. When somebody is doing something at you in public in front of everybody else, putting you down like dirt, I can't believe it's going to be loving on the Father, you see, and controlling our mind and letting this mind that is in us be the same mind that was in Yeshua, in Christ, that He had in His mind when He laid it down for us. That's the one we're supposed to be following. That's the one we're supposed to be portraying. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Matthew 16, 24 through 25. Then Yeshua told his disciples, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We can always tell when we are holding to our lives tightly or laying them down. Loving God with our minds or loving ourselves more. We will keep control over our own lives or let God have control, depending on our love towards every situation that we face. That's why he said all the commandments lay on these two right here. That's why. It all lays on that love. And I believe the Father's really taking us through that little journey and squeezing us down. And it's very hard. Look around you. I know they got a lot of people out, but still on Sunday mornings, compared to about a year or 2 years ago, there's not a whole lot here that used to be here. Not saying they're not going to come back. We're still going to keep praying for them. We got a lot of new guys that are stepping up. Tomorrow's supposed to be a resolution. Supposed to be signing a resolution, making their commitment for their family, for their household, just like we've been doing all these years and making mistakes. We haven't committed to them fully, made the mistakes and repent. He said, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail in a lot of areas, but get back up and just keep on going. Stay on the journey and endure to the end. It says, out of loving God with all heart, soul and mind is the one we do not love God with the most. We lay our life down and it loves God and gives Him control of it. Love casts out all fear. We'll all the time find ourselves in a state of fear because we didn't lay our lives down. So instead, we took control over the situation. So that's why the world's in a mess, because everybody's in control of their own life, the way they want to do it, how they don't want to have God to be involved in anything of their life. And most churches today, religions want to kind of side with the world to get everybody in, but it's still doing a travesty to the church because it's not fixing anything, and everybody's still in fear because when it happens, we're still in control of our own lives. Fear is always the result of our being in control, offensive or upset about whatever doesn't go as planned, being wronged by others, whatever it may be. You'll always find it in there, you in that state of mind, because you don't give God control and you don't love him with all your mind. John 13, 34 and 35. And this is what he was talking about Sunday. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another. The word Yeshua used here was not brand new, but new to us, meaning it was a type of love that would be new to them that were not currently practicing it. So I was thinking about this the last couple of days after I heard the message from Sunday. I was like, man, there's a new kind of love. But I'm like, is it safe to say that we got to practice this one, because we've been practicing in wrong areas? But then I went and listened to it again. It surely said it right there. Practicing. It's going to take some practice. It's taking some practice with those buttons in that car. It's going to take some practice with this unconditional love. Unconditional love. And have I made some mistakes in Sunday's message in it? Oh, yes, I have. And I get hit pretty hard with grace. He convicts me. I'm like, dang, that one's in there too. I'm like, ooh. And I repent again, you know. I'm like, man, that's hard. That's not easy. But if I keep doing it, I'm still going to stay in control. And it's not going to help me be insult to anybody else. And it's not going to be portraying who Yeshua is. It's not portraying who he is. It's not easy. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. Be therefore followers of Elohim as dear children, and walk in love. And we're going to see this love pop up on all the pages now. And when you see it, we got to remember which one it is. It's the unconditional one. It's the new one. This is the one that we got to have in our minds. In every situation, through illnesses, through what others have done to us, in business, things may not go your way that day, that week. We got to learn to be okay with it. It gives Yahweh control. It's okay. You won't live in fear. You'll be at peace. Walk in love as Messiah also has loved us and has given himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to Yahweh for a sweet-smelling savor. Here is love magnified to the full as demonstrated by Yeshua in Matthew chapter 5. Yeshua's ultimate example of love was laying down his life for others, and he knew that most of his apostles would need to be prepared to do the same, as the Bible and history shows they did. Now, with that being said, as we go through these trials, as we go through these practices, as we read, like in the Torah portion, we had the Torah portion combined 42 and 43, because I listened to it online. I didn't even go to 44, which Brother Scott brought some stuff up from 44. So we got to cover a lot of Torah portion in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew shows a lot of stuff in there, and it shows, you know, through religious, Pharisees, Sadducees, the stuff that we learned, the stuff that we got rid of, and on and on and on, all the stuff we've been learning. It's been trial and error to get us down to when the tough stuff comes. If we can't get through the little things, we're surely not going to get through if our child is put on the line in front of us and says, deny Christ or they die. We're more than likely going to do like Peter, run and deny and do whatever we can, because we still want to be in control. The problem is we're constantly always wanting to be in control of over our lives. We've got things we've been going through the past couple of years. Pastor, teaching us what he's been going through with health, to go on fastings, to detox your liver, detox your colon. Not just something that because he's doing it, we do it. It's for our own good. It's a little bitty step before the big things will come. We got to get through the little things. If we can't get through the little things, if we're still getting our feelings hurt, well, then we're never going to make it when the hard things come. It says they were all eating and drinking and having a good time and marrying when before the floods came. And he told Noah, hey, it's time. Close the door. They practiced and worked hard and worked hard. Everybody else kept diddly-daddling around and laughing and saying, it's going to be all right. I'm pretty sure there was a lot of religious churches at that time that was just thinking it was just funny. Look at them. We believe in the rapture. They believe they stay in here. And then all of a sudden the flood comes. What? Once the door is shut, the 10 virgins, all the door is shut, it's over with. The trials, the tribulations come, you step back, you get beaten, and the ones that's not practicing, it's still a little thing, they're going to step back and say, ooh, I'm glad I'm not them. But that's the ones you should be with. That's where you should be. The ones who's going through the trials and the tribulations, well, you think we're going to escape them? Peter went through it. John went through it. They all went through it. John went through it really bad, being balled in oil. And he was still, the Lord gave him enough life still to be able to give revelations about Yeshua and everything that was talked about in there. And so we got to get this done. We got to get to practicing this stuff. And I got to practice it in my life. I'm one that's still working a lot of areas of my life right now. It's not easy. But I repent, I get back up, and I want to try and do better. I was thinking about, you know, just men's night in particular. You know, for a long time, it was just two or three people, four or five people. And I was talking to Brother Scott about it. I'm like, you know, if you think about it, it's one day, one night a month, just one, right? If it's one night a month. And before, you know, we may have looked at it like, well, I really don't need to go. I may need to go or whatever. If you look at this kind of love and laying down one's life, it wasn't about me. It's about my brothers that are there. They got this young guy that walked in there and he's new to this. And now we got some older guys that should be there faithfully. That's not there all the time to help the younger ones. That's not laying your life or your time down for your friends. No greater love does one have than he would lay his life down for his friends. And that's easy. That's simple. One night a month is simple. What about getting beaten, ridiculed, spit on, and put on a cross? When it gets to that time, if we can't do those, we surely not going to make it for those at all. We'll walk away, I promise you. We haven't practiced enough to get through the little things. The big things is not going to be easy at all. We won't make it. We'll fail in them. Loving your neighbor as yourself was not a new commandment and existed from the beginning, but the level of love they needed to practice to be imitators of Messiah was new, that they loved one another as Yeshua loved them, to the point of also being prepared to lay down their lives for each other as Yeshua did for them and the whole world. So we find that Yeshua not only magnified the law with what he spoke of in Matthew chapter 5, but he also taught that we need to demonstrate the same self-sacrificing love of Messiah himself. This is the level of love that is the foundation of Yahweh's moral law of love. And it's so plain to see. And so with all that being said, Monday and Tuesday, like I said, I went into the Torah portions that was combined online. And Matthew 23 through 25 was combined off of those two. And that's what I went over for our Torah portion. Because when I started reading this, after listening to Sunday's message, everything just starts sticking out to you. Like, you just listening to what he's talking about, what he's saying with the Pharisees and Sadducees. And it kind of matches. Like, in Matthew 23, starting with verse 1, Yeshua said to the crowds and his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works that they do. For there's two words I circled right here in this sentence. For they preach, that's one of them, but do not practice. This is a type of love. This is a type of love that Yeshua preached, that he practiced, But in here, they preached, but they didn't practice that type of love. It wasn't there, because he proceeds to say, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their, I don't know that word too well, phylacteries? Phylacteries. Their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at feasts, and the best seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you're all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, HaMashiach. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. He's showing them the difference between what they're doing and what I'm doing. What they're teaching and what I'm teaching. What they're portraying and what I'm portraying. And so, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. Because the kingdom doesn't consist of that. If he said what we just talked about, all the commandments lie on these, then that's what the kingdom consists of, is that those right there, that type of love. So it says, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte. And when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of, and that word hell is Gehenna. It's the dump. So much easier to say it that way rather than thinking of crazy things that we've learned through the past. As yourselves, woe to you, blind guides. And we talked about that in the Torah portion. Woe to you, blind guides, who say if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. You'll see blind in here about three times. So they're really blind to it. We were blind to something. We were blind to something because we were taught something. And we go back and look at it again and put it all to the side, repent, and then you finally see it. You're not blind anymore. But they were really blind to it. Because when you read this sometimes, you're kind of like thinking that they're doing this stuff on purpose to people. They're really being mean and cruel and ugly. But they're really preaching the word of God and the Jewish sect and all what they were taught and teaching. And along the way, they were just ended up doing it from the outside and never had this type of love. So they were blinded. Who say, if anyone swears by the temple, there's nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men. For which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of Elohim and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. That's another one that sticks out. What's the weightier matters of the law? You know, sacrifice. How's that scripture go? Sacrifice, I haven't accepted. But somebody help me out with that a little bit. There's a scripture that talks about, but obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what I'm looking for. Obedience is better than sacrifice. They were doing a lot of sacrifice and a lot of things done outwardly, but there was no love on the inside at all. Not the love that Yeshua portrayed. And so, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first, clean the inside of the cup and the plate. That's what we got to do. We got to keep cleaning the inside, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And I want to share this because we got some other ones here tonight that wasn't at the Torah portion. I had a dream a couple of weeks ago, and it was a serious dream. It was real significant. It woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I thought about it. And I went to pastor with it because it was something. I love trees. I really do. I love trees. Love oak trees. I love pecan trees. I just love trees. And in this dream, it had a bunch of trees, and it caught my attention. And I talked to pastor prior to that and after that about dreams. And he said, God gives dreams in a lot of detail, because if he gives you something simple, you won't think about it for long. He said, but if he gives it to you in great detail, it makes you think about it for a while. And I did. I had another long, long dream a couple of weeks after that, but I don't have time to get into that, nor is it the time to talk about it. But this particular dream with these trees, I was in a house. And in my dream, I thought it was my house, which it really was, but it wasn't my mobile home house. It was a house. And they had trees all over outside, all these beautiful oak trees, all kind of beautiful oak trees. And they were strong and big. And we had a bad, bad cold winter, a bad, bad freeze winter, where it should have killed all the trees. And I really thought that it was going to kill them all. And when spring came, they all bloomed, and they were beautiful, and they were strong. I checked them all out. They looked really good, and I was excited about it, you know, because, you know, spring came, and they were real beautiful, and all of a sudden, we got a strong, strong thunderstorms and wind came through there, and it blew and blew and blew, and about three quarters of the trees broke in half, and I was afraid they would hit the house, but, you know, not one of them hit the house. They all broke at the tree trunk, and they just were everywhere, and I was sad, and I was weeping in my dream. I was crying. I was like, man, these beautiful oak trees. And I told my wife, I said, Linda, look, they were so perfect, and they were so bloomed. How could they just break? They made it through that winter, and they made it through everything. And then I looked on the inside of the tree, in the tree trunks, and every one of them had, like, the wood was, like, really soft and moist, like driftwood by the river when it's wet. And you could dig your hand in it, and it comes out. I was like, oh, they're rotten on the inside. I'm like, but all these trees, they're so beautiful, you know. And I was just weeping about the trees, you know. And I was into the dream. And I shared the dream with Pastor. And Pastor immediately said, why are you telling it to me? I already know what it means. He knew instantly from the Word. He goes, he knows the Word. He's talking about, you know, like Jesse and the root of Jesse and a stem coming up. And he said, look. He says, I could tell you the house wasn't your house, your mobile home, but you're in the body, in the house of God. And the house of God, being in the house of God, nobody's going to get hurt. They all stay safe. He's going to keep them safe. And the trees represented people in the body. It could be me. It could be you. It could be anybody in this church. It could be anybody all over the world. He says, on the outside, we could make it look really good and hold strong in a lot of areas. And there may be a sin that we're messing around with that's on the inside, and we're not dealing with it. We're not getting rid of it. We keep letting it linger around, and we hide it from everybody. He says, and so when the winds came, everybody's going to have the winds blow on them. We're all going to get it. The wind's going to blow. And he said, and the winds come, it's going to tell on you. If you haven't fixed it, it's going to show, because all those trees that broke, it was shown in front of everybody. He'll blow and blow. When that wind blows, if you haven't gotten rid of it, he's going to expose it in front of everybody. And so that hit me pretty hard. If we got anything that we got hidden, we're not showing anybody, and we just holding on to it, he'll expose it in front of everybody when the time is right. We can't kid ourselves. We can't kid with the one who created us and knows us greater than ourselves. He said, now, it's a good thing that they broke off at the trunk. He said, because there's grace. As an opportunity for a stem to grow up, as another stem to come up and give you grace. You might lose a lot. You still got roots. He said, but if the roots came up, that's not good, because it's over. Once the tree is uprooted, it's over. He says, so that's grace. And so if anybody says, it could be you, it could be me, it could be anybody. If we got this sin that we're not dealing with it, letting it linger, not dealing with it and just hiding it, it will be exposed. The wind blows on everybody. It always does. So, and he talks about that in Scripture. So I just had to share that because it talks about this. You hypocrites, on the outside, you like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead men's bones. It's only a matter of time. People can pretty it up, you know, like say all kind of hallelujahs in front of everybody in church, and it ain't long. Some difficulty comes up, and they're gone. We could be gone. So we can't hold on to those things. We got to let it go. It's for our own good because he loves us. That's what the grace is for, to convict us or whatever it is, to get rid of it. We don't need it in our lives. That sin's going to eat us up. It'll kill us and destroy us. So, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So keep doing those things. It's called lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and you hypocrites. You build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of prophets. Thus you witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to Gehenna? Therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify. You know, there's religious churches, denominations today that if they don't turn around, if they don't give in, they'll be the very ones that'll be murdering the prophets, murdering the ones that's trying to give them the truth and tell them, hey, we need to turn, we need to go back and look at this again. We need to pay attention. This is his likes and this is his dislikes. And if we don't change, we're going to be just like the blind ones. We won't see. We'll be killing our own brothers and our own sisters in the name of Yahweh. In the name of God. They killed them in the name of God. They did that. They did this in the name of God. And through the decades, they've done it in the name of God. They've killed people like Michael Servetus for telling the truth about Trinitarian doctrine. They burned him at the stake. Yeshua would never burn somebody at the stake. We got to go back and look at this stuff a little bit. So something's wrong with some of the messages. We need to go back and look at it again. So it says, therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. And this generation is the same generation, it ain't passed yet. The Bible days back then are still the Bible days today. We just got finished hearing about on Sunday, right? We just got finished hearing about that. It's the same thing. Nothing's changed. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. All that stuff comes out when you start. You listen to the message Saturday night. You listen to the message on Sunday morning. You put the time in. You put the time in. Then you go through your Torah portion during the week. And you'll stay more than enough throughout your whole week to be down in a hole. There's no way we should be down in a hole. We got more than enough. He gives us more than enough. In Matthew 24, Yeshua left the temple and was gone away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered to them, you see all these things, do you not? Truly, I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Yeshua answered them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I am HaMashiach, or I am Jesus. There's many people that preach Jesus. Many people that's preaching Jesus that's not really portraying Jesus. You see what I'm saying? And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for thus this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will, see, he's given us what's the future, what's going to be happening. So if we don't get this love on, then we're going to give in to when it gets troublesome for us. Things ain't going to be the norm, the freedom like we have. We have too much freedom. He talked about that too, brought that to my attention. We have too much freedom. We take every day for granted and just as work day, as take care of this, take care of that, and we neglect the greater. And that's why he says in the word just a few minutes ago, the weightier things. You neglect the weightier things. It says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. The word isn't lying when it says straight and narrow is the way to eternal life, and very few make it. The whole world's not going to be saved. As much as all the religions are trying to save the whole world, you're not, because it goes against what his word says. His word says very few are going to make it. I don't know where they get that somehow we could save the whole world and everybody could have this peace. That kind of throws a question in your mind. Okay, well, if he said this and they're saying that, somebody's not saying the right thing, because that's not what it says in the word. They will deliver you up to tribulation, put you to death. You'll be hated by nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away. Many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased. Lawlessness is being increased today. Lawlessness is being increased today. The love of many will grow cold. Today, the love of many is growing cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. It's all right there. And if we keep practicing and reading and staying on top of everything we're supposed to, doing it his way, we won't get caught in that troublesome spot where we're not supposed to be in. Then abomination of desolation. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, didn't say Revelations. He went to Daniel right here. Revelations wasn't spoken of yet. It wasn't written. But Daniel was. Standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, and let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and are for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight be not in winter or Sabbath. I've been looking at those a little bit. I'm not sure about those yet, but those stick out to me a little bit. For then there will be great tribulation such as not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is HaMashiach, or there he is, do not believe it. For false HaMashiachs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray. There's so much stuff. If you dig on the internet, there is so much stuff out there. If you're not praying and asking Holy Spirit to lead you, you can be led down so many false trails and roads. It's so many thousands and thousands, not alone the religions that are out there. Don't believe it. It says, for if they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. And when you're reading this stuff, you already pop up in your mind, Yom Teruah. All right, Sukkot. You know, Yom Kippur and Sukkot, those pop up in your mind. Today, I had a fishing trip. It wasn't planned. I had another trip that was canceled, and then I ran into another spot, a place I didn't expect to be. It didn't go the way I was expecting it or planning it. And when I got there, I was like, okay, you know, I'm around a bunch of guys that are way out there. You know, they drink, they smoke, they cuss, they do all these things, but I'm there just to be salt. I'm on business, and I'm going to do everything that I can, like as if I'm loving the Father. And we had a little bit of time to spare this morning before we took off and went upstairs, and all these guys was talking about the fun they had last night. And one of these guys in particular, he knows that we go up there by the Amish, because I talk about those things. And he remembered about it. He said, hey, he says, y'all went up to the Amish this year? I said, yeah, I sure did. Well, how was that? It was great, and this and that. So he asked some questions. He's like, okay, well, how is their belief system still? Is this still like it used to be years ago? And I was sharing with them. I said, you know, there's a lot of different beliefs and stuff up there, you know. I said, but we all get to share with one another and have a good time. I said, the main thing we go up there for is, you know, there was a hurricane that came about, and they just showed up. We didn't know them. They didn't know us. They helped us out, and we just so grateful and full of gratitude for them guys, you know, and them ladies, everything that they did for us. So it's the least that we can do is go up there and visit with them, and they share with us their families and what they do, their businesses, and we love it. We go up there and have a great time. And so we was talking about a few things, and he said, yeah, he said, you know, a lot of different religions do a lot of different things, and some people are still having a tough time with them, and some people's changing. I heard a lot of them's coming out and changing. He says, you know, I have a tough time with some of my beliefs and, you know, with my family, because some of my family is Catholic. He says, and I was raised a Jew. And when he said that, I went, okay. So I let him finish. He's like, okay. And he's talking, yeah, my family's Jewish. And you know, he started talking a little bit this and that. And I said, hey, you know, we're going to be doing a hoopa wedding up there when we go to, I think Pastor Jesse's supposed to be doing a hoopa wedding. He goes, a hoopa wedding, really? Because he can relate to that because he's Jewish. He's like, how do you know about that? And I said, well, we for the past 5 years have been kind of more leaning towards Messianic Jews. We believe in the Father. We believe in that he's our God and our Lord, Yahweh. And we believe in the Son, Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. And he's like, whoa. So when you, and he was just kind of mind boggled about it a little bit. He goes, wow, y'all really practicing those things? I said, yeah. I said, we veered away from all the dislikes that the Father doesn't like in paganism, a bunch of holidays, and we've gone back and started looking at the feast days, God's feast days, Yahweh's feast days. He goes, wow, interesting. So he was mind-boggled about it. I don't think he expected that to come. So it was pretty interesting to sit there. You never know who you're going to run into, who you're going to talk to. So you always got to be prepared. Not only practice, but also do these things. He said, don't do as the Pharisees and Sadducees. You know, don't do as the religious folks. You know it. But you need to do these things. You need this love. So that was pretty interesting this morning. So it says, and will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. From the fig tree, learn its season. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, just got finished talking about that. For as the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. Noah and his family didn't get swept away. There was people that were unaware. But they were told. If you read the scriptures, he was warning them all that it was going to come. And they watched him day in and day out. And so They were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two men will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was being to be broken into, no, the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. And so me and Brother Scott was talking about that last night. We was cracking up laughing, boy. He said, yeah, you know, if you knew he was coming to steal your stuff, you'd be sitting there waiting. Yeah, you ain't going to get me this time, buddy. I'm going to know you're coming. So who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed that servant who his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so there's a lot more scripture to cover. I'm not going to cover all of this tonight, but y'all can go back and read it. As you go through all these scriptures, it all just comes out what we got to be ready for. And it's not just knowing the scriptures. Not just a hearer, but a doer of the word. We have to be a doer of this love that our Messiah portrayed. This is the kind of love we must practice. And it's a new kind of love. A new kind of love that we still need to practice until he returns. There's a lot of areas in our lives that we'll find that we could fail in. There's just one more I wanted to read. I didn't want to pass up this last one. It was the last part of chapter 25, Matthew 25. This is a real important one. 25, starting with, I think it's verse 31. Is that the one that says, when the Son of Man comes? I think that's what it says. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. And before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to the one of least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So when we do it, we're not only loving on our brothers and our sisters, we're loving on the Father. And all of these that he named, we need to put these into play in our lives. Every one of these. Because when we're doing this, when we do this, we're loving on the Father. We're loving on the Father. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you visited me. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. When I was in prison, prison doesn't just mean people that are in prison that are crooks and robbers. People that are in the world that are lost, that don't know the Lord, don't know how to get out of sin, who are trapped in sin, they're in prison. I was in prison of sin one time until someone shared the gospel with me and I listened to the call of the Lord. I was in prison. Sin was eating me alive. I was dying. I was going to die. I was destined for Gehenna, thrown in a dump, to be thrown with the maggots and burned up and to never be alive again, never to have eternal life. So when we do these things, we're loving the Father. We're loving on Him. And so that's what we need to think about. When it feels kind of burdensome a little bit. Sister Anita was crying Thursday night. Because, you know, it's a little bit of it's a big burden to take care of those grandkids. You know, she raised her kids and she's got more grandkids. And now she's got them that she's taking care of. She's got so many school supplies to get for the kids. And Brother Herman and her is just, that's a big task. It really is. But she says, I got to take care of them because it's my responsibility. So for her to be taking care of them, she's loving on the Father doing that. That's what she's doing. And she's sowing seeds in those kids' lives. When they grow up, hopefully they'll get it. And they will get it. And they'll grow. And then their children's children, if they live past our days, you know what I'm saying? Their children's children, a seed will be sown. And was talking about seeds. You know, if one seed is sown in somebody's life through one person, was talking about the ones that had a talent. It talks about that in here too. I don't have time to read it. But you go back and read that. They had one that had the five talents, and one had two talents, and the one that had one. The one that had the five talents, it went and sowed some seeds, and there was some people who got saved and born again and endured to the end and made it. He made five more. One had two, made two more. But the other one, he didn't do anything with it. He buried his seed. He could have done something with that seed. Sister Anita said, if he could have just done something with that seed. But he didn't do anything with the seed. He didn't love the Father at all with that seed. He cared about himself and himself only. So whenever we don't lay our lives down, we're only loving ourselves and being selfish. That's what we're being. And that's what the whole world is about and dying in. About trying to be in control and live our own lives in sin. And it just doesn't work that way. And so in the garden, the Father took the tree of life because of sin. Instead of us living in sin all for eternity in this hellish, aggravated state that we live in, fear all the time, you know, we never have a chance to be graced, be convicted, and be able to get rid of sin out of our lives and the Son come and be born again, you know, and have eternal life. So we need to work on these things. We got a lot of work to do. I got a lot of work to do on me. And so we're all in this together. Ain't nobody got more or less than anybody else. Well, I'll keep praying for one another, for strength for each other, and show up on time for our brothers and for our sisters. And the residual effect is what we reap, what we sow. What we put out for somebody else, we get it in return. You know, I didn't have any, I wasn't told to be studying or getting ready for tonight, but this helped me out a lot. I got to go over this stuff again, and it's helping me more with my day and what's going to come about come tomorrow. So anybody have anything? And I know our pastors are probably maybe coming back tonight, or that's what I was told. They're supposed to be back tonight to be here for tomorrow morning. So y'all be excited about tomorrow morning if you can make it. If you don't have to work or something, be here for tomorrow. We have our resolution. Everybody be blessed. That's all I got.